The scripture reading for today will be Psalms 32, 1 through 5. Psalms 32, 1 through 5. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin.
Thank you, brother, for that reading from Psalm number 32. Thank you for following along in your Bible. How great it is to be assembled together to worship God on such a wonderful day as this. We thank each and every soul for being present here today. We are delighted to see you. We hope that you will leave feeling that you are greatly blessed by our great God in heaven for the wonderful blessings that He offers us on this first day of the week as we assemble together to worship Him. Candy Chang is an artist who dabbles in things related to promotion of healthy communities and a spirit of community kinship in our society today. She's been various places throughout the country doing this. She conducted an experiment in a public art studio, a gallery in the heart of the Las Vegas Strip, that provided private booths for passers-by to walk in and express themselves. The experiment revealed how quickly people expose their struggles and their vulnerability when given the opportunity to reflect on their lives and their problems. And this private and quiet place offered this the first gentle step toward a person's reflection and being honest with himself and disclosing that on a placard. These are people that sought to purify their emotions by recalling their complex negative feelings about wrongs in their lives, or bring them to expression in the form of a confession. Most of them were. People walked into a booth where they were concealed by a curtain that said, "Write a confession." You walk in there by yourself and there's material there for you to write on, and do that. They were anonymous submissions, and they're dropped into a little collection slot at the back of the booth, as you can see depicted by the picture there. And I'd like to share some of these with you, and the reason I'm doing that is because it's typical of people. It may be something that has touched our lives or lives of people that we know. But it's typical of people in the society in which we live. So I want to share some of these confessions with you. And here are what some of them are. Someone wrote, "I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm running out of time." Someone said, "Everyone thinks I quit smoking, but I didn't." Someone wrote, "I hate that I got married too young. I sold heroin to my friend, and it ruined his life. I regret leaving my religion just to marry you. I've had sex for money a few times. I don't care, though. It was a lot of money. I've been in recovery for almost 10 years. I'm drinking, and I'm terrified to tell anyone the truth. I had an abortion, and I regret it every day. I was the other woman, and I hate myself. I've stolen over $15,000 from the company I work for. I hate it when my friends are better at something than I am. I want them to be jealous of me. I wish I could tell those I love the things I've done. I regret losing my virginity at 14. I wasn't ready. I'm a compulsive liar, but I can't stop. I'm addicted to cheating. I'm sorry. I have thoughts and plans to kill my parents. I've wasted my life. So many things I wish I could take back. I would give anything to be a virgin again. I am afraid of death. My best friend beat a man to death when we were 15. Never told anyone. Still hurts. I cried while reading everyone's confession because I know I'm guilty of the same things. Someone wrote, "I'm so glad I found the Lord." Now there are surely some people that brag about how bad they are in this life, but there are many people who are really looking for help, spiritual help, help in dealing with things that they know are wrong, and it bothers them. And may God bless those Christians who seek other Christians and their elders across the country who come looking for help, admitting that they're harboring some secret sin in their lives and they need help. And a lot of times those admissions happen usually after a long period of internal struggle, when a person just makes himself sick over the internal turmoil that he's going through because of his guilt. And people are battle weary because of that. Sometimes people will not make such confessions until their sin becomes known by other people. And sometimes people will not make confessions like this until they've hit rock bottom. And they feel frustrated and helpless and nowhere to turn. And sometimes they compound their problems as a result. As an elder in the Lord's church, it concerns me that there may be more who can't or won't seek out assistance with their problems. Typical comments that are heard by some, "I can talk to anyone about anything but about this. No one will understand." Someone says, "Everyone else seems to have everything under control, but I know that I don't." Somebody says, I just feel so dirty and so guilty. Someone else says, I can't talk about it. I'm trapped and I'm all alone. Someone says, "What would people think of me if they knew?" Because of those feelings, they won't talk to anyone and they make no progress in confronting their sin. And the downward spiral continues and they drift ever so deeply into turmoil and frustration and nowhere to turn and nowhere to look for help. Some people actually take their own lives because of it. Any mature Christian who abides in the Word of God and works to help people who need Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins that destroy understands what that spiritual downward spiral is all about and how tumultuous it is in the lives of people. When we open our Bibles and we look at various passages in the Old Testament and the New, we see a long list of occasions where confession of sin is made. The high priest on the confess the iniquities and the transgressions of the people on the Day of Atonement in Leviticus 16. The Israelites confess their iniquity and their unfaithfulness and hostility before God in order that He would remember the covenant that He made with them in Leviticus 26. Near the end of the 7-year captivity, Daniel confessed on behalf of the people, and here's what he said: "We have sinned. We have committed iniquity, acted wickedly, and rebelled, even turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. Moreover, we have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land." Ezra was ashamed and embarrassed as he prayed on behalf of the returning Israelites because of their intermarriage with heathen people. He called those abominations, unfaithfulness, guilt, impurity. And he said, "We have forsaken your commandments." He told God that. A mourning Israel confessed their sins and iniquities for a quarter of the day in Nehemiah 9. Those baptized by John in the pages of the New Testament, John the Baptizer, John the Immerser, came confessing their sins. The new believers in Ephesus admitted that all their formal evil practices were sin, and they kept coming, confessing and disclosing their practices, Luke wrote in Acts 19 and verse 18. James wrote in his letter that confession should be a regular part of every Christian's life in James 5 and verse 16, when he said, "Confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed." In all these examples, the heart of the confessor is laid open. There's nothing that is hidden on the part of those who make such confessions. They're humble. But how cleansing it is and how refreshing it is before our holy God. That's why God commands confession. To humble us and free us from guilt. Free us from inner turmoil that can destroy us. The Pharisee in Luke 18, 9 through 14 listed his great accomplishments. The tax collector was unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven but was beating his breast saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Jesus said, "I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." When we refuse to acknowledge our sin, aren't we guilty of exalting ourselves? By avoiding confession, many people try to deal with their wrongs in various ways. Many have had the habit of become involved in the habit of rationalizing sin. And thinking really, "Oh, it's not really all that bad, and everybody does it." So they rationalize sin and errors. Many of us struggle with our consciences, with our goal to make peace with ourselves within our own hearts. In order to gain peace, you may deny what you've done. You may try to find excuses. You might try to squirm out from under the responsibility and the consequences of your wrongdoing. That's just going to cause you greater turmoil. You may work hard to be good in order to compensate for your mistakes. That's really not the right way out either. Are you doing everything that you can do to even the score between good in your life and bad in your life? Until you confess your faults, you're not successfully dealing with your sins. John wrote in 1 John 1, 8 and 9, "If we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us." Notice what he says in verse 9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." But I'm going to tell you something that you already know. And when I tell you this, you're going to say, "That guy sure has a firm grasp on the obvious." Confession's hard, isn't it? It's a very hard thing to do. It can be difficult, extremely difficult, to let other people know that you have weaknesses, that I have weaknesses. You don't know what their reaction is going to be. You think it might be published in the next day's newspaper. You just don't know. You may be afraid of losing face. You may be afraid of losing some position in life. You may be afraid that people will not think as highly of you as they once thought of you. You might even think you'll be shunned by it. Yes, there may be some people who are appalled when your sins are exposed, especially if you've played the hypocrite. But that shouldn't stop you from sincere, soul-searching confession to God over your sins and iniquities that He already knows about in me and in you. You know what you'll most likely discover? You know what you'll most likely discover if you do James, what James said to do, confess your faults one to another, pray for another that you might be healed? You know what you might find? You might see coming out of your brethren some of the greatest demonstrations of genuine Christian love that you've ever seen in your life. Because they will wrap their arms around you and whisper in your ear, how deeply they love you, and how they prayed for you, and how they will be there to help you in any way that they possibly can, to be faithful to God, and to be in heaven together after this brief life is over. You might find that among their own set of problems might be a problem that you're struggling with. You'll find equals. You'll find people you can confide in. And you'll find among God's people some of the strongest spiritual help available on this earth. You'll find that you have things in common with brothers and sisters that you've hardly talked about before. And the admonition from James will take on a greater meaning for you. Confess your sins one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much, the New American Standard Bible says. We mentioned that confession is hard. Confessing sin is hard because it is an individual thing. It's personal. You know, it's easy for us to say, well, we all sin. Of course, you know, the Bible says we all sin. We're all guilty of sin. That's not hard for us to say at all, is it? And it's really not hard for us to say, that brother over there, he sinned. That sister over there, she sinned. That's not hard for us to say. What's really hard for us to say is, I sinned. I'm guilty. Me. Thank you, Brother Gordon, for leading that song for us. I'm the One. A very touching song. That's hard. Sin is individual. Guilt is personal. Personal confession is demanded. Recall David's confession in Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 4, here's what he said to God. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Notice, blot out my transgressions, he says to God. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Confessing sin is hard because it's definite. You know, there have been times when we've heard people say, if I've done anything wrong, please forgive me. That's not a confession. That's easy to say, but that's not a confession. A fellow who is unaware that he has sinned sure better find out before he says anything about it. Until he knows and admits his sin, he can't really make a confession. If confessions are a charade, really. Confession must say, I have sinned. There's no doubt about it. I know what I've done. David was definite, wasn't he? My sin is ever before me, he said. Confessing sin is hard because it's specific. The confession of generally sinful life is proper, but this is not what's under consideration here. Confession admits a particular sin. True confession says, you know, I've been a gossip. You know, I lied about you, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I stole something of yours that wasn't mine. I took it without your permission, and I used it up. I'm sorry I did that. Please forgive me. I'll never do it again. I'll try to never do it again. I'll restore what I took. You know, that type of confession is really so hard that there are very few people who do it. Why? It's tough. It's tough. Oftentimes, people rename sin, which results in a diminishing of the seriousness of it. The crime is reduced. This is common in our civil law. The criminal is allowed to admit to a misdemeanor rather than pleading guilty to a felony when he knows he's guilty. That's not allowed in God's court. You can't say, well, I'm guilty of hurting so-and-so's feelings when actually you've slandered the person. Accidentally misrepresenting the facts. But I exaggerated. I confess, I exaggerated. When what you really mean is, I lied. And I sinned against you. Please forgive me. Pray with me to God. Confession names sin. And maybe that's why people don't do it. Confessing sin is hard because it addresses the one who has been sinned against. The confessor goes next door to the person and faces that person face to face and looks him in the eye and says, I sinned against you. And the whole reason for doing that follows. Please forgive me. That's confession. You know, a dozen times down the aisle, publicly confessing to the church would be a whole lot easier, wouldn't it? Than walking up to the face of the person that you sinned against and say, I sinned against you. I slandered your name. And I spray-painted your car with an ugly name. That's hard to do. It'd be a whole lot easier just walk down the aisle and tell everybody in the church, I sinned in a public way. I need forgiveness. That's really not acceptable when your sin injures another person. First and foremost, before one says anything to the brethren, he needs to talk to God. That's the one where the forgiveness is going to start. He sinned against God. He must confess to God. Later he may need to talk to the church, but not before he confesses to God. And if one is going to confess public sin against the church, he needs to do so in the church where he sinned. Not when he's on vacation in Panama City. That's not the time to make a public confession to make things right with a home church where you've sowed discord and slandered people. You need to make it right where you are. Confess at the place where you've sinned. Confession's good for the soul, you know, but it's mighty hard. It's mighty hard. It's really hard on pride. That's where the rubber meets the road. If I'm a prideful person, the last thing in the world I'm going to do is confess to you my sins. That's why God says, you know, I hate a proud look. Pride goes before a fall. It's tough. It's not easy. And as I mentioned before, just briefly, confession of sin anticipates a plea for forgiveness. The whole reason you go to your next door neighbor and say, I stole your shovel, is because you want him to forgive you. The whole reason we go to God and confess to God specifically what our sins are is because he already knows. We know that. But we want him to forgive us. Confession of sin looks forward to receiving merciful forgiveness. A man may admit his meanness. In fact, he might even be proud of it. That's not the Bible brand of confession, though. A man who seeks no pardon is not confessing sin in the right way. Listen to David from Psalm 51. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. David's getting to the heart of it, isn't he? In personal relationships, those who are on the receiving end of confession have a responsibility also. In Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14, here's what Paul wrote. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. You see what Christians are admonished to do and the kind of people they're admonished to be? When somebody comes to you and says, I've sinned against you and here's what I've done, please forgive me. You're going to be a person who forgives that person if you have a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another. Or you really may not want to be a Christian at all, and you may rather hold a grudge against anyone. And you may want to get even and retaliate against that guy that stole your shovel, so you're going to get his lawnmower and all the tools he has in his tool shed and his toolbox too. That'll get you even. That's not the way Jesus said to respond. We must forgive the humble, hurting, helpless brother who bears his soul to God and confesses his sin to his spiritual family and to the ones that he sinned against. It may be that we'll need some of that compassion and kindness one day. When you find out that you're not alone and that others are going through the same kind of things that you go through, and that you do have others to talk to, what a great sense of relief and what a great sense of freedom that is that you will experience if you take advantage of this good spiritual blessing that God has made for you. Of course it's true that our goal is to lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run the race with endurance, a race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus from Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Of course that's what we want to do. But confession of sins to God is essential to that process. It's vital. It's crucial. It's urgent that we deal with our hidden sins, because Hebrews 4 and verse 13, one day they'll be exposed. And God is going to say to us, I knew about that all along. Why didn't you confess it to me? Why didn't you ask me to help you with it? And one day you and I will have to give an account to God. Things that He already knows about us, but things that we've tried to hide from Him. Romans 12, 14 and verse 12. The admonition, what I'm saying is, take care of it now. Don't wait till judgment. Take care of it now. Remember, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 and verse 9. Take advantage of that if you need to. With God, we will find sympathy for our weaknesses. Won't we? Isn't that what the Bible says in Hebrews 4 and verse 15? And doesn't it say in Hebrews 4 and verse 16 that we'll find grace to help in time of need? Why would we want to be swept away by the frustration and trying to cover over guilt? Why would we want to live lives that way in turmoil, losing the peaceful sleep of a righteous man whose conscience is clean before his God? God holds everyone accountable. To refuse to confess sins to Him is like being people who've committed crimes who refuse to accept the charges against them when they know they're guilty. God knows the truth, and He wants us to be with Him. And He wants us to agree with Him. In honesty, He already knows what we're guilty of. We need to agree with Him in honesty and openness with specific things. Yes, I agree with you, Lord. I'm guilty of these things. I need forgiveness. And He says, I've got exactly what you need. And it'll be gone from my memory, wiped away forever, because you come to me. And you have confessed, and you have sought my gracious forgiveness. And where would this old sinner be without that? Lost. Lost. What about you? Have you confessed your sins to God? If you want forgiveness, you will. Now, if that means in the privacy of your closet at home, you pour out your soul to God in order to be clean and refreshed and vibrant once again. That's what you need to do. Before the throne of God is where forgiveness is. Please do that. Please do it. I beg of you, please do it. If you've sinned against a brother or sister, you need to bury your pride. You need to confess to that brother or sister, and you need to ask them to forgive you. And I think they will. If you've publicly acted in such a way that people have seen demonstrated in you, not Jesus Christ, but something wicked, you need to stop in your tracks and fix it between you and God. And you need to let your brethren know what you've done that has brought public shame and reproach on the church, on the good name of Jesus Christ. And you need the brethren to understand you. And you need them to pray for you. You need them to lift your name before the Heavenly Father and appeal to Him. Please forgive this person and strengthen this person and help me in whatever way I can to help them be strong. You know, when this life is over and your body's in the grave and my body's in the grave, our pride is not going to make a bit of difference, is it? And a few years after we're dead, people are going to barely remember who we were and what our name was and where we went to school. What is our pride going to account for then? But what is going to account is whether we're in heaven or not. We want to be in heaven. Let us think and say and do the things that are going to help us get there and help as many as possible get there too. Is that a good idea? If we can help you with that this morning, anything we can do to help you walk closer to God when you leave this building than when you first walked in, we'd be delighted to do it. If you've come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you're willing to confess His name, that you believe Him to be the Son of God, it takes moral courage to do that. To confess His name before enemies, they're gonna be opposed to you. If you believe Him enough, you'll confess in His name before other people and take whatever comes. If you're willing to repent of sins and confess them to God, seek His forgiveness, He'll forgive you. If you're baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins, raised to walk in a new life as a forgiven person with a clean conscience, you can sleep good at night knowing you've confessed your sins to God and knowing He's wiped them out and will never recall them again before you. Boy, what a great blessing that is. We can help you with that today. We can baptize you into Christ. I can. Or some other person of your choice can. We can accomplish that right here in just a few minutes. If you want to take care of that, if you need to take care of that, please do it. Please be right with God. That's all I'm saying in the message today. Please be right with God in whatever He says. If we can help you, please come to the front and let me know while we stand together and encourage you by singing the invitation song number 281.